The Bible says that he was a just man, an unwilling to put her to shame. Listen, we can learn a lesson from Joseph. Just because somebody stops loving you doesn't mean you got to stop loving them.
Welcome to A Word from God with your host and teacher, James Lindley.
The title of this episode is A Miraculous Birth and was recorded live at Grand Community Church in Springfield, Missouri.
Hi, this is Misha Pelkey, and before we get started, I want to remind you that James loves hearing from his listeners. Drop him a line via email at james@awordfromgod.net. That email again is james@awordfromgod.net. Or write to James Lindley Ministries, P.O. Box 8082, Springfield, Missouri, 65801. That address again is James Lindley Ministries, P.O. Box 8082, Springfield, Missouri, 65801. Now here's your host and teacher, James Lindley.
All right, if we could all stand for the reading of God's holy word. This is Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 and 19, a miraculous birth. Everybody has that, say amen. All right, let's begin reading. Matthew 1, verse 18 and 19, the birth of Jesus Christ. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. Heavenly Father, we come to you today, Lord, and we pray that you will open our hearts to receive your word. God, I pray that you will open my mouth and fill it so that I will speak what you want to be heard and not my own words. In the name of Jesus, we pray and we give thanks. Amen. You may be seated. Okay, well, there's a couple of things I want to clarify in this scripture here really quick. It talks about divorce. But it also talks about being betrothed, and basically that was a contract between parents that when their children were going to be married, and it was a binding contract that the daughter would be promised to their son. Now, it was as good as marriage, but it wasn't a ceremony, and they did not join together until the actual marriage ceremony took place. So Mary was to remain a virgin because the contract had not yet been fulfilled. Okay, so we'll get into that more as we go through, but I just wanted to clarify that in this scripture here. Okay, on the fact of the virgin birth of Christ, Christianity stands or falls. If the virgin birth did not happen, then Christ was just a mere man. But since it did occur, Christ is the divine Son of God. Now, understand that when you take away the virgin birth, you lose Christianity. Because without the virgin birth, it means that a human being, other than Joseph or whoever, right, impregnated Mary. Which means that if a human being did that, then they have the seed of sin passed along to the child. But God himself was the father of Jesus Christ. So the sin seed did not pass through. Are we following along? So if you take away the virgin birth, if you discount that, you lose Christianity because then you just have a man just like anybody else. So my first point is, whose son is he? If we skip ahead to Matthew 22:42, Christ asked the question to his disciples, what do you think about the Christ? Whose son is he? Let's ask ourselves this question today. What do we think about Christ? Whose son is he? Jesus asked this question to get the disciples thinking about something. And it's something that we should think about. When we talk about Jesus, we're not talking about just anybody's kid. We're talking about God himself giving his child over to us. And that's why this question is so powerful in the book of Matthew when he asks it to his disciples. What do you think about the Christ? Whose son is he? When we start realizing that Jesus comes from Father God, we realize that we're talking about royalty. We're talking about God himself. And it's different with us because we have ordinary human parents. And being as such, we have flaws. We have things that are passed down from generation from our daddies. Well, Jesus' father is God. That's whose son he is. And when we become Christians, we're adopted into that family. That makes us sons and daughters. You get the connection? That means that we are royalty too, which means we can boldly come to the throne because we have a father who is the King of Kings. Now, no other question in history matters as much as this one does. Because if this isn't true, we're all in a lot of trouble, aren't we? If Jesus is not the Son of God, then he couldn't have died for us. He couldn't have paid the price for sin. So no other question in history matters as much as this one does. Think about that for a moment. If somebody attacks your faith and tells you that Mary wasn't a virgin, well, then you take away the virgin birth. That's why it is so important that we know our Bible and we understand what the virgin birth is all about. Now, the Bible is clear concerning the virgin birth. The Bible is clear on this matter. In Matthew, and we just read this, 1:18, now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but it says, before they came together. Before they came together. So the writer of the book of Matthew is telling us this was a virgin conception. All right? Dr. Luke wrote the book of Luke, and he gave his account. He was a medical doctor in Luke 1:34. And Mary said to the angel, how will this be since I am a virgin? Mary was talking to the angel after he delivered the news that she was going to have a child. So Mary herself is recorded saying that she's a virgin. Dr. Luke wrote about it. Now Joseph knew he wasn't the father. Matthew 1:19, and her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. Now see, he was upset because in those days, you had to pay the father of the virgin some cashola to get his daughter. And now the agreement was broken. Man, I can't believe that I was promised a virgin, and now she's pregnant, and she's saying God did it? So he knew she was a virgin. He knew he hadn't touched her. Jesus' enemies attacked the virgin birth. Okay? In John 8:41, they said to him, we were not born of sexual immorality. We have one father, even God. They were saying, look, you're illegitimate. They were trying to discredit him. Attack the virgin birth, and you take away the miracle of the man. His enemies knew that his claims of deity hinged on a virgin birth. Jesus' miracles attest to his divine birth. John 14:11, believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or else believe on account of the works themselves. No mere mortal man can calm a storm, heal a leopard, raise the dead, or cast out demons. Now, we can pray to God as Christians and being saved by Jesus that God would calm a storm in our life, that God would heal somebody who was sick, or perhaps even raise a loved one or cast out a demon. But we can't do it. I don't have the power to do that. You guys don't have the power to do that. But Jesus, when he walked the earth as a man, he was fully God, and he was able to do that. And if he was just born from any ordinary person on earth, why, he would be as helpless as you and I are, right? But he relied on the Father because he came from the Father. And he teaches us to do the same thing, to rely on the Father, so that we don't have to rely on our own strength, because we know what our own strength does for us, don't we? Gets us into trouble, wears us out, and gets us nowhere. Amen to that. I heard that. Thank you, Jesus. All right. So let's take a look at the parents of Christ. There isn't a whole lot mentioned about them, but if you dig deep enough into the Word, you can find out some things, okay? So let's look at Joseph in Luke 2:4. And Joseph also went out from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David. So Joseph was in the family tree of King David, which gave titleship of king to Jesus. And we talked about this last week, didn't we? About Jesus Christ being in the lineage of the family tree to royalty. So Jesus was the king of the Jews. But he's also our spiritual king. He's also the king of the world because he is God in the flesh, right? Okay, so Joseph, we know, came from the family tree of King David. We know that about him. Joseph was a righteous man who loved Mary very much. Okay, because in verse 19 of Matthew 1, her husband Joseph, being a just man, okay, that means righteous, and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. Now, in this day and age, when somebody cheats on you or you think they cheated on you, we have a tendency to jump the gun and scream it to everybody on our cell phones, Facebook accounts. Am I telling the truth? Now think about this for a minute. This guy's heart was broken. He was shamed. Now, shame isn't the same today as it was back then. Back then, people had a high stock in their name. We should have it today as well, but we don't carry our name the way they did back then. We're talking about a man who kept track of his family heritage and knew that he was of the family of David. They kept a genealogy record of everybody and everyone. So when you had scandal in the family, you were defaced. You were embarrassed. You'd have to put a hood over your head just to walk down the street because everybody would be like, there's that poor Joseph. Man, his woman cheated on him before they were even married. That poor soul. And just imagine the disgrace that she had. But you know what? To save her pain and suffering, because you know what? The Jews could have stoned her. They could have killed her. But to spare her all of that, the Bible says that he was a just man, and unwilling to put her to shame. Listen, we can learn a lesson from Joseph. Just because somebody stops loving you doesn't mean you got to stop loving them. Just because somebody puts you to shame doesn't mean you have to put them to shame. He was unwilling to put her to shame and resolved to divorce her quietly. He was going to go break the contract, make it official with the parents. They were not legally married at the time, per se, because a ceremony had not taken place. So he was going to end the contract. So understand, they were not married yet. Okay, so Joseph was a carpenter. And more than likely, he could have passed his skill down to Jesus. We don't know. But Jesus was a carpenter, right? Matthew 13:55, is not this the carpenter's son? So Joseph worked with wood. And we know that Jesus Christ was a carpenter. So we know that he took after his earthly father and was in the woodworking, right? So we know that about Joseph. So he was a skilled man. He worked with his hands. He worked for a living. And he probably worked really hard back then. Joseph likely died sometime after Jesus turned 12. but possibly before Christ's first miracle. He certainly died before Christ's crucifixion, and we know this because on the cross, Jesus said in John 19:27, then he said to the disciple, he's talking to John, the disciple John, "Behold your mother," and from that hour, the disciple took her to his own home. I'll explain that a little bit. Nobody was there but John, and so it was customary to give your parent over, your mother over, to someone who would take care of her if you knew you were going to die. And so obviously his dad wasn't around. So we know that Joseph didn't see the crucifixion. Okay, so number three, the parents of Christ, Mary. Mary was a native of Nazareth. She probably grew up there and lived there probably her whole life. Luke 1:26, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth. So we know that that's where all this started taking place, right? Okay, so Mary was a woman of moral excellence. Luke 1:34, and Mary said to the angel, "How will this be since I am a virgin?" Now, they married young in those days, and mostly because you didn't live very long. Now, today, if you get a cold and it turns into pneumonia, you go to the doctor, they send you home with some pills, and you're good in about 2 or 3 days. Back then, if you got a cold and you got pneumonia, you probably died. Simple things. You cut your foot on a rock while you're out fishing, you got an infection, you died. So you wanted to be able to be strong and have children and be around for them a while, so you married young, okay? So Mary, she was saving herself for Joseph. In this day and age, we don't have a whole lot of people that save themselves on either side of the spectrum, amen? Not just women, but guys too. In this day and age, it's hard to find somebody who will save themselves for marriage. But in Jesus' day, this was something that was normal. It was expected. It should be normal today. It should be expected today, but we can't, because we know that society has begun a downward spiral, and even America is seeing the impact now, right? So to find a virgin that would save themselves, who is loyal to their husband, would be very hard in this day and age, wouldn't it? I'm just speaking some truth here, but we all know, we're all adults here, amen? Mary had humble reverence and thankfulness and love for God. We know this because in Luke chapter 1, verses 46 through 49, it says, "And Mary said, 'My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked on the humble estate of his servant. For behold, from now on, all generations will call me blessed. And for he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name.'" When God does something for us, we have to come to him the way she did. We have to be in reverence to God, even in the small things. Now, the Lord blessed her with the Son. And he did this so that we may have Christ to die for our sins. But she took it to a new level because she realized who was giving her the Son. So that's the first thing we need to do. When something good happens in our lives, we need to stop and think, wait a minute, did I make this happen? Or did God bring this into my life? When we see that God is doing something in our life, no matter how trivial it may seem at the time, understand who it is that's doing the good work. I myself cannot do anything good. I have to have my good come from God. Then thankfulness. Thankfulness. She was very thankful that God would choose her, and she was humble. Her attitude was humbleness. God could have chose anybody, but he chose Mary. And she realized it, and she had reverence for God. She knew that a miracle was happening in her life, and she was thankful for it. And we can learn a lot by watching the example of some of the people in the Bible. Now, both Joseph and Mary were very poor. They were very poor. We know because in Luke chapter 2, verses 22 through 24, and when the time came for their purification according to the law of Moses, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. They're talking about Jesus. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who first opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. So we go back to Leviticus, and this is what it's talking about. Leviticus 12:8 says, and this is God's law, and if she cannot afford a lamb, then she shall take two turtle doves or two pigeons, one from a burnt offering and the other for a sin offering, and the priest shall make atonement for her, and she shall be clean. And what God is saying here is if you're poor, he'll take something of little value. And see, that just opens my heart, because I know that God understands that we don't always have the money, but he will take the very little things in our life and use them to bless us with them. Now, they didn't have much to give God, but what they had, they gave, because they were thankful, because they were humble, because they held God in high esteem. And we talk about tithing here, and we talk about giving, and we talk about giving over to the Lord. If you're not thankful to God, you won't want to give him anything. If you don't have reverence for God, you won't give him anything. If you're not humble, you will hold on to what you believe is yours, even though the Bible says that the world and everything in it is God's. As poor as they were, they gave what they had to give because they loved God. They were thankful to God, and they were humble. You wouldn't think that out of two verses in the Bible that you could learn so much. But when you take the Bible as a whole book instead of a collection of 66 books, and you dig in deeper about the people that it's talking about, you start finding the character of those people. Nobody in the Bible is perfect. Nobody in this church is perfect. The only person in this church today that's perfect is Jesus. His presence is here with us, and he's the perfect one. When we start seeing that, when we start realizing that, we can start seeing the response and attitude that Mary had when the Lord showed up at her doorstep and blessed her. Now, with us, it certainly isn't going to be a child coming from God, because he did that one time and one time only. Which makes it all the more precious, right? With us, it could be little things. It could be a job that we've been wanting or needing. May not be the greatest job, but it could put food on our table, right? It could be a neighbor that comes out and helps us because we woke up in the morning and we had a flat tire. But all too often, instead of giving the Lord the little that we have, we complain about the much we don't have. And that shouldn't be our attitude, because that brings us into a downward spiral of holding on to everything in our life. And everything in your life isn't yours. It's not mine. Nothing I have is mine. And so what little I have, I give to the Lord, knowing that he'll take much better care of it than I ever would. And these two people were very poor, and God foreseen the poor in this world. He could see it at the time that the law was given in Leviticus. And so they couldn't afford a lamb, but they had the Lamb of God, didn't they? Praise God, they had the Lamb of God. So in conclusion, I want to say the virgin birth meant that Christ was not tainted by the seed of sin So in other words, if Jesus would have came from a mere man, again, all of these miracles, his death, his atonement, it would mean nothing. And that's why it's so important that those two verses are studied and understood, that we're not just talking about anyone. We're not just talking about another one of us. We're not just talking about a good teacher, or a good preacher, or a nice guy. We're talking about somebody who was God in the flesh. Amen? That's who we're talking about when we're talking about Jesus and we're talking about the virgin birth.
This is Misha again to remind you that James loves hearing from his listeners. You can contact him via email at james@awordfromgod.net. Again, that's james@awordfromgod.net. Or write to James Lindley Ministries, P.O. Box 8082, Springfield, Missouri 65801. And be sure to visit us online at www.awordfromgod.net. I'm Misha Pelkey for A Word from God.
And I'm James Lindley, and I want to thank you for listening. And I pray that God will bless you immensely from this message.